Have you been wandering through life with no purpose? Are you looking for a catalyst to change your life for the better? These Servant Leadership podcasts will change your perspective of yourself, others, and your creator. This transformational leadership approach uses seven simple tools to help you understand your purpose in life. Please join Dave Kuhnert and Chris Seegers for today's podcast.
This is Servant Leadership Podcast number 10. Seek and share truth. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing today?
Good. Today, we're going to cover a lot of ground here on what we call the Moment of Truth tool. And this is kind of a long one, so we're probably not going to do a lot of review. But really, this is one of those things where everyone thinks that one of their top values are probably something like honesty or candor or sharing truth in some capacity or another, integrity. And reality is, we don't do this very well. We don't share truth as often as we should. And generally, it's because we're worried about managing emotions instead of managing truth. So when we look at the model that we've set up of there, here, path, we want to have clarity of the there and know where we're trying to go. And last time, we talked about that path being the mood curve and starting with really high expectations. And then we find out that things are going to be a little bit more difficult than we probably thought they were. And we have to stay committed. But to get through that path, we have to know our current reality. We have to know our here. So when we say leaders seek and share truth, we want to seek truth for ourselves to know where we really are. What is my current reality? Where do I really stand? And really seek that out. Additionally, we want to share truth with others. We want to come shoulder to shoulder with someone in our lives, someone we trust to share truth with us that we will also share truth with. Help them dial in on their current reality and progress towards their.
So they're having, there. That's a tough one to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're there.
T-H-E-I-R. There.
Moving on.
So we want to help them progress towards their goal in life, their transcendent there. And having that knowledge or that better understanding of where their current reality is going to come from other people. It's going to come from getting into the Word and praying and self-reflection. So we have that there, here path and know we're trying to influence others to get there. It also happens to mean we're going to share truth with them. So remember, we talked about this clarity of expectations and clarity of consequences many times throughout the last several podcasts. In fact, in the Freedom V, we said that we put people in the Freedom V and we create that V with clear expectations and clear consequences. Clarity. We have to have clarity. If we don't have clarity of the expectations and clarity of the consequences, we can't do this tool. So we want to help people understand where they're at and how to help them by setting the boundaries of the Freedom V with clear expectations. And we know we're going to struggle with this whole current reality piece. So the way we're going to help others understand that their actions are not meeting the expectations is we're going to do this Moment of Truth. We're going to share truth. So this is going to help clarify the here for others. We generally don't have a very accurate understanding of our here. So we typically want to think about how we are, you know, better at things than we really are. And that's generally where we think we are. We generally think we're further down that path than we really are. We don't have clarity of our current reality. We don't know our here very well. So we're going to ask people to share that truth with us. So the point of the Moment of Truth is to help people see that they may need to change one or more things that we can control. So remember, the three things we can control is who we trust. Do I trust God or do I trust someone other than God? That's going to affect the next thing I can control, which is my perspective or my attitude about things. And that attitude or perspective is going to affect my actions. So whom we trust, my attitude, and my actions. Those are the three things we can control. So a moment of truth within ourselves, with ourselves, or with someone else can help them see that maybe they need to actually see that they're not trusting God, or that they have a poor attitude, or that their actions are not reflecting their attitude or their trust in God.
So do you think we talked a lot about measuring small and often as a good tenet for, you know, whether it be in your family or your company? Do you think that helps the moment of truth not be as uncomfortable or awkward.
Definitely key to this is measure small, measure often. If we're actually doing that and that becomes our culture in our organization or in our family or with our friends, whatever it is, when we're recognized as someone who's going to measure small, measure often, when expectation is not met, we're immediately going to talk about it. We're going to share that truth with them. What tends to happen, though, is people don't measure small and measure often. They measure small, but they're not going to say anything about it. So what happens over time is those ill feelings that they're harboring continue to grow inside, and that person continues to do those same actions that are bothering us over and over and over again, to the point then where this giant volcano inside of us erupts and we have this huge blow-up conflict that doesn't need to come to that. And if we'll just measure small, measure often, your actions did not meet the laid out expectations, so let's talk about it and let's get it figured out so I can serve you. This is not a tool to punish. Again, this is just like the Freedom V is not a tool to punish. This is a tool to serve others. When we recognize someone has not met an expectation, we're going to share that truth with them. They probably want to do well. They're not trying to miss expectations. They're probably not recognizing that they're missing an expectation. So that could be that we weren't clear enough of the expectation, or they're just not getting it.
So tell us a little bit about how it can be difficult in the moment of truth when opinion or speculation factors in versus using facts.
Yeah, so when we start assuming things instead of talking about opinions, like if I try to tell you, if you're not doing a good job, Chris, say you're not doing a good job at this podcast right now. I'm not saying that's true, but say you're not. And I don't have any facts to back that up. How do I share truth with that? How do I say, I feel like you're not doing a good job? Okay, what expectation am I missing? Well, I don't really know. What is the expectation? If it's not clear and we start making this about opinions or assumptions, then we're going to miss the whole point of this. You can think about this in terms of our SMART goals even. Specific, measurable, achievable, relatable, and time-bound. When we can throw a SMART acronym on top of it, then we know that it was very clear. We had very clear expectations. And generally, people are going to not want to do these moments of truth. They're not going to want to share truth with others because they're more worried about damaging the relationship. When we have a culture of actually sharing truth in everything we do, this is not a big deal. It becomes part of who we are. Usually, when you think about the path being the mood curve, generally it's that pit of despair. Things are going great. All of a sudden, things aren't going so great anymore. We had a high opinion of how things were going to go, and now we're in the pit of despair because actual is not meeting what was expected within ourselves. And now things seem dark. We can't seem to see the there anymore. We know we have to stay committed, but this is where conflict is going to start to come into play with the team. It's a team project, and there's five of us on the team, and we're in the pit of despair. We're going to have to share truth with each other to get out of that pit. And maybe we use the Freedom V. I set a Freedom V. We had clear expectations. You violated the boundary of the Freedom V, so there's a consequence for that. And we want to share truth with you to help you see that so you don't continue down that path. You're coming off the path that the team is on. You're not moving towards the there. You're being detrimental to the team. So we want to make sure that this is all about truth. It's not about opinion. And recognize that without truth, organizations will flounder and they will fail. They will not succeed without truth.
Do you think that this moment of truth / Freedom V is going to create conflict? And if so, I think we all have kind of this negative perception of conflict. Can you speak a little bit about that and why it's a good thing?
We start thinking about words that are relatable to conflict. We start thinking about bad things, war and strife and arguments and anger and emotions. And really, conflict isn't always negative. In fact, most of the time, conflict is resolved in a very healthy manner. And it's good for the relationship. It's good for the team. It's where learning happens. It's going to happen in the pit of despair as well. When we get in the pit of despair, generally conflict is going to be there. There's going to be some positive conflict outcomes and some negative ones possibly. But when we share truth with each other, we can help make that conflict be a healthy outcome instead of a negative one. And our next podcast, in fact, we're going to talk specifically about conflict resolution and how to do that. today, digging into this moment of truth, and we recognize that measure small, measure often, I can't say that enough, is going to be key. Have you ever known someone, Chris, who shows up to work one day and with no warning at all, they're just read a laundry list of things that they have as shortcomings in their job? You show up and here's this list of things you've been doing wrong all year long, and nobody has said a word about you to you at all. And oh, by the way, you're fired. Pack your bags. It's time for you to move on. Nobody ever once said you're not meeting an expectation. So the organization spent all this time, all this money, and all this effort building this person and letting them be there in a substandard role. They're not performing to standard. And nobody ever mentioned once you're not meeting expectations. Really hard to correct your performance when nobody shares truth with you, when nobody has the courage to share truth with you. That's a manager's role, but you would hope it'd be the role of your coworkers as well. You would hope it would be the role of your friends and loved ones that are around you. When asked if you'd share truth with others, the answer is a resounding yes. Everybody thinks they're going to do this well, but why then do we struggle to share truth with others? In serving others, we should pursue their best unconditionally. We know that most of us have a difficult time knowing what our here is. We struggle to know our own current reality, and helping others see their current reality by doing the moment of truth correctly can be a very rewarding and fulfilling experience. It can also be full of conflict and emotion if you don't do it correctly.
We've kind of discussed before that when you don't do this moment of truth, you're essentially saying that you don't value that relationship or that person more than the conflict, right? You don't value them enough to have that hard conversation.
Yeah, I think how to convict yourself to share truth with someone is, because I care about them, I'm going to do that. If I don't care about them, I won't share truth with them. And that's plain and simple. If I truly value people, I will take the time to share truth with them. A moment of truth is a four-step process. A moment of truth is a four-step process, and real simple four steps that anybody can remember. The first step of the four is just to get them to acknowledge reality. Now, this sounds really simple. Get them to share that they understand what the reality of the situation is. Sounds pretty simple, but really it's the most difficult step. Now, this can be done formally or informally. A moment of truth does not have to be sitting down across the desk from someone, shining a light in their eyes and torturing them. It can be one friend to another in the break room, one loved one to another in the hallway. It doesn't matter, as long as we're helping them by measuring small, measuring often. This does not have to be a significant emotional event in our lives. It could be a part of a normal conversation and should happen all of the time. We should always be sharing truth. Most times that a moment of truth is conducted, the recipient of the moment of truth won't even realize it's happened if we do it correctly. This is kind of an art to it, though. They'll just figure out that they gained a little bit more clarity on their here, and now they have a plan to get there. So the first step, like we said, is just acknowledge reality. Again, it sounds easy, but it's the most difficult by far. So to do this, we're going to use what we call digital or binary thinking. So binary thinking is just using opposites to ask questions like yes or no, true or false, up and down, etc. So let's say, as an example, that people at your work who report to you have been showing up late all week long.
So let's act this out. So we say step one is acknowledge reality. So let's walk this through how you would if I was working for you.
Okay, Chris, you're supposed to have been very clear expectation that we've laid out. You're supposed to have been to work at 8 o'clock every morning, and you've been showing up at 9 or 10 o'clock all week long. So when you come to work after, generally, if we measure small, measure often, I might have mentioned something to you the first day you're late, and then I might have said something a little bit more the second time, but now it's become a pattern of misbehavior or poor performance. So now we have to sit down, and this is where the moment of truth becomes a little bit more formal. You can just simply say, Chris, can we agree that you were supposed to be here at 8 o'clock every morning this week, but you showed up after 9 all week long? Yes or no?
And so typically right here is where that binary comes in, right? Because I want to tell the story.
Yeah.
Well, I had a flat tire and, blah, blah, blah. And so what do you do right then?
Yeah, so the second step is the story. And we want to know the story. We definitely want to know the story. We want to know how it got that way so we can help them. So we got to take them back to step one. We want them to acknowledge the reality that they missed an expectation. So if you started into the story, yeah, but, okay, I appreciate that, Chris. I appreciate that there's a good reason for this, but let's go back and just acknowledge that you were supposed to be here at 8 o'clock and you showed up at 9 o'clock or later all week long. Yes or no?
Yes.
Or true or false.
Right.
Or however you want to state it. But we give them two choices. That's that binary thinking or that digital thinking that we're talking about there.
So you don't move on to step two until they give you that answer.
That's
right?
Correct.
The binary answer.
Yeah. And they will definitely try the yes buts, you know, especially someone who has a lot of excuses, or maybe there is a good reason. But we want to first acknowledge reality that there was a very clear expectation and they did not meet that expectation. Can we agree that the TPS report was due at noon today and you didn't turn it in until 2 o'clock? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. We recognize, and you recognize, you have missed an expectation. So now let's move on to step two. Let's figure out how did it actually get that way. There's a lot of reasons people don't meet expectations, but generally people don't willfully or deliberately try to underperform. You very rarely see that. Some people will just get into a pattern of that because they're allowed to and nobody really says anything. So we have to move them down in the freedom V a little bit and help them along. So when they start to miss these expectations, sometimes it's a symptom of a deeper thing, bigger underlying problem in someone's life. So we have to be prepared for that when doing a moment of truth. They may have had a recent death in the family. They could be going through a divorce or have some medical issues. The fact remains that the actual did not meet expected. But now, instead of trying to take this further, we're going to move on to step three. Okay, we recognize that your father just died this morning. Okay, moment of truth over. Then now it's time to go into showing some sympathy and some empathy for them. But if it's been a problem and it's been ongoing, great. There's something else going on there. Now we move on to step three, which is creating a plan. So step one, we acknowledge reality using digital thinking, binary thinking, yes or no. Then we got the story from them in step two. How did it get that way? And in step three, we're going to move on to the plan. Step two, consider their story. We want to make sure that the story doesn't become a line of excuses. We want to use our communication skills and use it an opportunity to create more clarity with them. So it's important to use open-ended questions in step two. It's going to lead to that self-discovery. So we don't want to tell them how to feel. We want to ask those leading questions to help them come to the point of their story that maybe they just are missing an expectation and need to do things differently. So as we move into step three, which is a plan of action for them, this is not a tool to punish. We just found out what happened. And now we want to come up with a plan to assist them to get back on track. So in terms of the Freedom V, this would be simply giving them more structure. I could even clearly state, well, based on everything, I'm going to move you down in the Freedom V a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit more clarity on the expectations, and I'm going to put a little bit tighter structure around you. So I'm going to come up with this plan of action.
So walk us through that real quick, just for our example. So I've been showing up at 8:30, and the expectation was that I'm to work at 8. And we've walked through that, walked through the story, and it's not something that we would stop the moment of truth for. Now, what does that plan of action look like?
Yeah, if it's not a miscommunication with clarity, if it's something that we can set a good, smart goal for, so maybe it is, Chris, for the rest of the week or the rest of the month, let's meet here in the morning at 7:30 in the morning. I want you here at 7:30. That way, all of your excuses or your story about getting behind the school bus and having flat tires and alarm clock not going off, whatever it is, maybe we can skip a traffic pattern by you coming in early. I'll meet you here 30 minutes early every day. If you do that for 1 month, I'll move you back out in the Freedom V. You can start coming back in at whatever time, at 8 o'clock on your own time again. But for the next 30 days, you're going to meet me here at 7:30. If you fail to meet me here at 7:30, then you could be dismissed from this organization, if it's that severe. So what we want to do then is put it in writing. Write it out. Make sure there's clarity of the plan. If there's not clarity of the expectations of the plan, we can't go back into the moment of truth again. So we've created a plan for them to help them, to serve them, to keep them on track, which brings us to our fourth step. So step one, we got them to acknowledge reality. Step two was we got the story from them. Step three is we help them come up with a plan of action. And this shouldn't be necessarily me imposing my plan on them, but helping them figure out a plan for themselves. Well, what kind of a structure would help you get here on time? And this may require some sacrifice on the leader's part. If I have to show up a half hour early to meet them there, well, obviously I'm sacrificing for them. And step four is the feedback. So we want to have a structure in place that helps us know whether or not they've completed the plan of action to standard or not. This is another meeting we can set up to sit down together and communicate back and forth to one another about how it went with the plan of action. Do we actually meet the expectation now? If we do a moment of truth after one occurrence of a missed expectation, we sometimes find out that something out of the ordinary has happened. For instance, if someone shows up to work late one day and we decide to do a moment of truth with them, we may find out something very small that happened, no big deal. But when it's a pattern and we do this moment of truth process, we get them to acknowledge reality using binary thinking, get the story from them, how did it get that way, come up with a plan of action to serve them, to help them get back on track, and then feedback. Okay, Chris, it's been 30 days. You've been showing up a half hour early every day. Good job on meeting the expectations there. Now, I'm moving you back out in the Freedom V. Just remember, the expectation is you'll be here before 8 o'clock every day. Do you understand, yes or no? And essentially, I just had a moment of truth with you again about the clarity of expectations. And this was all in writing, so if you didn't show up when you were supposed to, you came in at 8 o'clock instead of 7:30 during that 30-day period, now we can have a moment of truth again. Do you agree that we had a plan of action in place in writing that you agreed and that you signed and you agreed to come in 30 minutes early every day for the last month and you didn't accomplish that, yes or no? Yes, I agree, that's the case. Okay, now understand, we could terminate you for this. Maybe we give you another chance.
This is not a tool that you use to hit someone over the head with. This is a tool that you're using because you care enough about that person to work through the conflict, right?
Exactly. Then it starts coming into how many chances should I give someone? Always a big question I get when you go through a moment of truth. Well, there's two places we can look for that answer. One of them is we can look around at society and culture, or we can look at Scripture. And Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So we know that we're supposed to forgive others. Well, how many chances should we keep giving them? We have a business to run. Answer is really, how many chances would you want? How many do you deserve? Generally, in our mind, our own current reality, we tend to think we deserve more chances than we would give others. It's kind of a sad thing about us. A good friend of mine, Cliff Coleman, says that it's a short trip from one side of the desk to the other. And, you know, it really is. I could be sitting on the other side of the desk, too.
Yeah, we expect to be given a lot more mercy than we typically give.
For sure.
And with the other two on, that's a tough one. You know, as Christians, we're called to give mercy and to show grace. But like you said, there is some moment when you say, when is giving this person a chance detrimental to them, right? Versus saying, hey, we've had the moment of truth multiple times. We've shown you mercy, but we have to let you go because it's detrimental for you to stay here. You have to go out and, you know, figure this issue out.
Yeah, so what is an organization? Well, an organization is the people. So if I am going to, sometimes if I'm going to let somebody go, I'm actually serving them. I've given them so many chances. Maybe it's 3, maybe it's 10, I don't know. And every situation and every person is going to be a little different in the severity of what they've done. But ultimately, you can use that experience, if you do a moment of truth correctly, you can use that experience to serve them even by letting them go, by firing them. You can help them see that this is something they did. But if they'll turn their life around, if they'll start getting their head back in the game, whatever their issues were, that they could go somewhere else and be very successful, knowing now what they do from what they've learned from the past moments of truth. And I can say, having terminated the employment of several people, that almost all of them I've talked to later and followed up with them, and they have all appreciated the way they were let go, that they learned so much from that experience that now they have a successful career somewhere else. But another good question here is, how do you view the intentional mistakes of someone who purposely violates the boundaries of the freedom V. You know, once that moment of truth is complete, do you forgive them? You know, I had a guy who was padding his hours. I gave him a second chance, but I never really forgave him for a long time because I kept going back and double checking his time against the times he was logging into certain things. I hadn't really just let it go and given him a fair shake from the beginning. I was kind of harboring those ill feelings and going back and really watching what he was doing. You know, it's one of those, am I really giving him a fresh start or am I waiting for his next mistake so I can deliver justice kind of thing? So what does it mean to truly forgive someone else? To truly forgive their mistakes? Well, you have to let those past transgressions, you know, you have to just let them go in thought, word, and deed. At some point, we have to ask someone to leave the team. Well, after numerous moments of truth, you just have to finally do that. You can't just keep moving them around in the Freedom V. If it's a habitually poor performer, we just finally have to let them go. It's best for the organization, and really, it's what's best for them. Another good tool we can use, we call the four squares. And this is simply, if you can imagine, Chris, four squares on the y-axis, the vertical axis on the left would be ability, and along the bottom, the x-axis, would be motivation or desire. So in each of the four quadrants in the bottom left, you'd have can't and won't. So that's somebody with no ability and no desire. The next square to the right of that would be somebody with a lot of desire but no ability. So they'd be can't but want to. On the top right quadrant, you'd have a lot of desire and a lot of ability. Those people can and will. You're generally not having a moment of truth with them. But in the top left corner, you have all of the ability and none of the desire. So you can, but you won't. So when you do a moment of truth, another good tool to use are these four quadrants. And I'll throw these out, this diagram out on the Facebook page. So if you're interested, you can look at it and maybe get a better representation than what I'm trying to paint a picture for you in your mind. But you can throw these four squares out to them and have them point to the square that they're currently in. Hey, good, we had a moment of truth. We have a plan of action. But what square are you in right now? Are you a can't but want to? Well, probably not. You're probably a can. You know how to do it. You've been trained to do it. You know the expectation. You just won't. You've chosen not to meet the expectation. You're choosing not to perform to standard. So when you ask them to point to the square there, and they'll generally start to point to the can but won't, but they'll say, but I can be over here, and they'll point to the can and will. I agree. You can be over there, but where are you at right now? Well, I want to be over here, pointing at can and will. Well, okay, I understand you want to be there, but where are you at right now? And just having them touch the can but won't square, I can do this, essentially I'm choosing not to, creates this, I don't know, connection. It creates a significant emotional event for them to actually have to touch that square. You'd think there was boiling lava in that square or sharp glass that's going to cut their finger. It's really tough to get them to physically touch the square by talking them through it.
It's a very visceral reaction for you to acknowledge reality and say, look, I can do this, but I won't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a tough admission, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I know how. You've trained me. I'm fully capable. I'm just choosing not to do it. I'm choosing to disobey. I'm choosing to not do a good job. And so having them touch that square can really cause that intrinsic reaction that you're looking for and help sink that moment of truth in a little bit deeper. And ultimately, you're in the can but won't right now. You need to be in the can and will. You cannot exist in the can and won't square in this organization much longer. I need you to move over here. A good moment of truth that we can see in Scripture with David in the Bible, in 2 Samuel 11, this is where David has an affair with Bathsheba, and they conceive a child, and then David tries to cover it up. He knows that Bathsheba's pregnant, so he calls her husband Uriah back from the battlefield, and he tries to get Uriah to go home and sleep with his wife so that he can cover up the conception of the child with Bathsheba. Well, he calls Uriah back, and Uriah refuses to go to his house because all of his compatriots that are still in the battlefield, they can't go home, so he doesn't deserve to either. So David, a little confounded, calls him back and says, okay, let's celebrate. Let's have a party. And he plies alcohol and food onto Uriah, and Uriah still doesn't go home. So now David doesn't know what he's going to do. Well, what he does is calls somebody forward. He says, look, Uriah, take this message to the battlefield, and what I want you to do is give this message to your commander. So Uriah takes the message, doesn't read it, it's sealed, and gives it to his commander. And basically what the message says from David is, hey, get close to the walls of the city that we're attacking, and then put Uriah up front where it's the most dangerous. And as soon as he's up front and exposed, retreat and let Uriah be killed. So this happens, and Uriah is killed.
So David sleeps with Bathsheba, somebody else's wife, then has her husband murdered.
Exactly. All to cover up the conception of this child. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David did had displeased the Lord. So the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Well, David heard this. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. So, great moment of truth here. It's a great example. From the scripture reading, we can see how God used moment of truth with David. We see King David's sin of having an affair with another woman, Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah. The affair resulted in the conception of a child. In an attempt to cover up the sin, David tried to get Uriah to lay with his wife Bathsheba, but was unsuccessful. Instead of confessing his sin, David took his sin to the next level by ordering the death of Uriah. So God sends the prophet Nathan into King David with the story of the sheep that enrages David. David's ready to drop the hammer of justice on the rich man for his transgressions, and Nathan tells him that it's him of whom he's speaking. Through the use of a story, David realizes the truth, and he says, I have sinned against the Lord. The depth of the moment of truth was not as simple as having an affair or murder. It was clarified, and what it really is, sinning against the Lord. So God, through Nathan, completed step one, a moment of truth. David sees the truth of his transgressions and knows the story behind it. He's guilty, and God passes judgment. The child will not live, and the house of David will always know war. This is the plan of action for David, to always remember his sins against God. This completes the plan of action for David, which is step three, the moment of truth. And step four is fulfilled over the rest of David's life with his son Absalom rising up against him later on. So really a artful use of moment of truth by God himself through the prophet Nathan, just telling this story of this sheep that gets killed and served to someone else who the owner of the sheep just loved it. And yeah. It was taken from him.
Having David acknowledge reality and get angry before he knew the reality was about him.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Well, we know we're supposed to share truth with others, but we also want to seek truth. So we use this four-step process to help others see truth, share that moment of truth with them. We can also use it for ourselves. So understanding our own current reality is critical to setting an example for others. We're talking about that referent power, right? And how we want to demonstrate how to live life right and how to be transformational. Well, we should find someone we can trust to share truth with us. A good rule of thumb when we're talking to someone else is to assume that all of their observations are true until proven otherwise. That type of mindset is going to allow you to work on things that may otherwise you might just dismiss as insignificant or not true. We tend to think we're much better at things than we really are. So assuming that the person you trust is sharing truth honestly to serve you is a good mindset to have when approaching truth for ourselves. Seeking truth from others requires a tremendous amount of humility and self-awareness. So we actually seek truth from others and try to do something about it just by saying, hey, I'm going to consider this is true and I'm going to start working on it until I can prove otherwise. And usually those are those truths that I think I'm further down the road and they're saying I'm much worse at something than I think I am. And there's a great gap between my perception of reality and their perception of reality. And God only knows the truth, and it's probably somewhere in between. So having someone to share truth with us, come shoulder to shoulder with us, and let us know where we are on our journey in life towards our there is really critical to helping us figure out how to get there. Again, if there's something here on the podcast you're really enjoying, you want to give us some feedback or something you think we can do better, go to our Facebook page and let us know. If you have a question, shoot it in there, send it off, and we'll try to answer it here on the podcast. Thank you for listening.
If you would like to offer feedback to any of the Servant Leadership podcasts, please go to our Facebook page and click on the comment section. You can also check us out online at trueservantleadership.com. Our site will soon have videos for the tools that we recommend using, and we will be adding additional content to the website in the future, including links for these podcasts. All of our material comes from the book Servant Leadership, Influencing Others to Get There by Leading a Transformational Life. If you're interested in the book, you can find it at Amazon.com. Both the paperback and the electronic version are available for order. The electronic version is only $1.99, and all of the proceeds from the book go to charity. Thanks for listening, influencing others to get there, serving others, and most of all, thanks for leading with the example of a transformational life set by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.